Hello team, and welcome to episode 456 of the Simply Fit podcast. In today's episode, I have the pleasure of speaking with Stephen Rados. Stephen is a professional boxer and mindset coach. There's no mistake that your mindset is crucially important to achieving the goals that you're after in life. And I truly believe that success leaves clues. And in this conversation with Stephen, we break down the success that he's had throughout the course of his boxing career, along with how he's been able to carry that over to the clients that he works with to get them into the best place that they've ever been. In this episode, you can expect to learn what goes through your mind when you're in the boxing ring and punches are flying, what Stephen believes are the crucial keys to success when it comes to your mindset, along with why the quote-unquote aggressive coaching style seems to be going out of fashion, even when it might be needed now more than ever. So without further ado, Stephen Rados. Stephen Rados, welcome to the show. How are you today, buddy?
I'm good, mate. Thanks for letting me on here.
No, the pleasure is truly mine. I'm excited to dive into our topic today. I feel like we're going to have a very organic and easy and flowy conversation. But before we do dive in, can you give the listeners a bit of context about who you are and what it is that you do?
Yeah, sure thing. So I'm Stephen Rados, as you mentioned. I am 29. I'm a professional boxer. I'm also a boxing coach and a mindset coach. So I work with lots of different people online and in person. And just, yeah, helping everyone to kind of be the best version of himself and be a bit of a positive influence.
I love that mission. I'm curious to get an idea of where it all started for you. Obviously, I imagine the boxing started pretty young, but when did the mindset side of things kick in? Were they always kind of synonymous, or was it the boxing started based on an interest and a passion? Was there a sport before that? Run me through the early years of your life that took you here.
So I started playing football when I was younger, but I always kind of wanted to box. And then I started boxing around 16 years old. And like I said, I'm 29 now, so I've been boxing for about 13 years. Mm. And the mindset's kind of always been there just because boxing's such a hard sport. Like, you got to get punched in the face in front of a bunch of people, and half of them want to see you get knocked out, and half of them want to see you knock the other guy out. So you always kind of got to be tough. But I really got into the mindset like later on, like how it can kind of drag you out of situations, put you in better situations, and your perspective on things can really like make a difference in life.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. And then in terms of obviously the boxing side of things as well, when you first had your early experiences, did you have that mindset side of things? Because I imagine obviously it comes part and parcel with the sport, but at the same time, we don't all start with that. We have an understanding that is a passion that we wanted to do, but you probably only worked out later the resilience you had to have, the mental toughness and everything along those lines. So did it come immediately, or did it take, was there a bit of a learning curve and did it take some time?
No, definitely not. Like anything, it's a learning curve, and it takes time no matter who you are, because you can always keep learning and always learn more. So you kind of have like some kind of mental resilience, but you don't really know what it's going to be like. So I always tell this to my clients on their first like sparring session. You don't know how you're going to react when you get punched in the face. That's the reality of it. And then me doing that in front of a crowd, it's like, how are you going to handle this now?
And how did you react the first time? Obviously, a little bit different when you're sparring versus, like you said, when you're in front of a big crowd. How did those two situations individually go? The first time when you were sparring, the first time in front of a bunch of people?
Yeah, well, they're actually not too different, because when you're in the gym, it's like you have the same thing. A lot of people that want to see you win, a lot of people that want to see you lose. But I feel like it's just much more amplified in the crowd. Like, it's something, I think the first one is a lot easier than the second one, because you don't know what to expect. So it's kind of like, what am I preparing for here, really? Like, I've done this in the gym, but now this is in front of a crowd. I don't know what to expect. So I can just kind of go for it, and I have no real like gauge of how bad or how good it's going to be. The second one's much harder.
Yeah, I can imagine. Because there's also that level of expectation, right? And then also a extra level of fear, because you know what the potential of what could happen, right? I think naivety is kind of a gift in some ways. In other ways, it can obviously trip you up. But in situations like that, where you're like, well, better to get into it and learn rather than learn by thinking about it, learn by doing it. So at least you know what to expect in real life and in action versus actually having to think about it. So no, I can imagine that both of those were interesting situations. Obviously, then you get the resilience, then you get the understanding, right? Because then you have that awareness. But I think sometimes if you know too much about something before it happens, sometimes that can even allow you to end up not doing it.
Yeah, definitely. That's what I always tell people, like if they, you know what I mean, before their first fight or like first sparring session, whatever it is, I'm like, enjoy the process, enjoy the build up, because before you know it, your adrenaline will kick in and it's going to be over. So enjoy all those little moments before, because the experience itself will go so fast. It's not funny.
Yeah, and I was going to say, in those moments, in that experience, are you literally thinking consciously? Are you taken over by adrenaline? What does it look like? I'm just trying to look inside your mind in like those situations, especially on the early stages as well. Does it change? Does it transform? Do you get more centered as time goes on?
It's both. So you kind of like adrenaline kicks in at some points and, you know, your body just takes over. And at some points, you're very present. And when you're very present, it's usually when you're very tired or you've just been hit or something like that, or you've got them hurt. Like, yeah, it's normally something in the fight changes and then you become very present and aware in the moment. But other than that, it's adrenaline and just instinct, and your training just kind of takes over and you do what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, I can imagine. What are your ambitions with the sport? Are you still pursuing things in a professional manner in terms of trying to climb that ladder? Or is it something where your passion is more about helping people get to that stage or helping people improve their mindset as well?
So originally I really wanted to box and that's all I wanted to do. And then I got asked to coach people by a bunch of people because I was always in the gym and I was like, I don't know, like this isn't really something I want to do. I really wanted to just fight. And then I started actually coaching people because I was like, you know what? I'm in the gym anyway and I like training so I can help other people like it too. And then now I think I've really just made the shift into helping people be better. And like I said, I really wanted to fight more, but now I want to help people more.
Damn, yeah. It's a nice transition. And I think it happens to a lot of us as well. It usually starts from a passion that we have and then eventually transitions into something where you almost see the gift that you have and you're like, well, if I can allow other people to have a little bit of this and you can spread it far and wide, then it becomes a big passion of yours. So in terms of the difference between obviously professionally pursuing the sport and teaching health, fitness, mindset, and also boxing as well, what have been the big differences for you in terms of that career path?
It's not much, to be honest, because like I still have to train every day because there's no way that I'm going to tell somebody, hey, yeah, go do this. And I'm not currently doing it. Even though I've done it before, I'd be such a hypocrite. Like I can't be like fat or lazy and be like, oh, no, go fucking do this just because I used to do it. If I'm not still currently doing something like that, I can't ask the same of you. I just feel hypocritical.
Yeah, I think that reputation piece, and I think the clients feel it as well, right? They really do. When you're talking the talk, or if you're not talking the talk, I think it's very, very visible to see. And obviously with a lot happening online right now, I think that space got a little bit blurry, especially towards the back end of the pandemic. Some people starting out being fitness coaches maybe haven't really been that much in a gym before. I think that area got a little bit blurry, but now it's kind of come full circle again, especially with you guys who are doing things in person. It was the same for me. Like I worked as a trainer on the gym floor until 2019. About 2019 it was. And in those moments, of course, I had to present myself in shape. I was always representing my business essentially. And then when you get online, you're like, well, actually, no one really knows if I go to the gym. They're only seeing my head up if I'm doing like a video check-in or a voice, for example. But then you feel it within yourself, right? And I think that that's where the best trainers really come out, is that they set the same standards for themselves. They don't feel like they have to, because like you said, you've proved it before, you've done it before. Same for me, I've been in photo shoots, I've done all the things that I would need to do to have my reputation, but there's still that something inside of you like, I still need to show up. I still need to kind of walk the walk in that sense.
100%, like as well, like you said, you know it in yourself. So you're going to project that onto other people and they're going to notice. They're going to be like, oh, he's not really that confident in what he's telling me. So you really need to just focus on what you're doing and how you're going to project it to other people.
Yeah, it's interesting because the content doesn't change, but it's the execution, right? It's the energy around what you say. And I think that that's where people feel it. And that's where you feel it the most as well. It's like my learnings and my understanding of health and fitness are not going to go away if I stop doing it. But the way I express it, the way I really transmit that to my clients is going to be completely different. So I couldn't agree more on that front. So the next aspect I want to transition into is obviously the mindset piece. And I know that's something you're really, really passionate about. So when it comes to building up to becoming a professional boxer, I want to start with you and then I want to start how you branch out into your clients. Is there three big keys to success when it came to the mindset side, things that you needed to nail in order to have the success in your career that you did professionally in terms of boxing versus the coaching side of things?
Yeah, definitely. I think for a boxer, you just have to get over your fear or do it regardless. Not really get over your fear because that's not going to fucking happen. But you need to be able to deal with your fear. Because sometimes, like, you don't feel like it. I had a fight that was on TV. And before the fight, I had a shitty weight cut, which is no one's fault but my own. And then I just wasn't feeling it. I didn't have the right food beforehand because I was still, like, in the transition of getting a nutrition coach and stuff like that. And I just wasn't feeling it. And we had another, like, guy in our change room who was just not someone that you needed to be there because they were just, they're like, oh, you don't know what to eat. Why haven't you done this? Why haven't you done that? And I'm like, I'm fighting in an hour. Like, this is not fucking helpful at all. But what am I going to do? Say, oh, sorry, guys, fucking postpone the TV show. Fucking, I don't feel like it. you know, call me back tomorrow and I'll be better for it. It's too fucking bad. You got to do it now. So that's kind of one thing. You just get the mental toughness to just go, well, fuck it. This is what we're doing. Too bad.
And how did you perform in that fight?
I would say not my best. Definitely not. But yeah, but no. I still did it. Like I definitely, yeah, I think it was a horrible performance based on what I could have done to what I did do. But it's too bad.
So getting over your fears, doing the things that you potentially don't want to do on the day, but doing them anyway, that's a one big key. What's the second aspect you would say?
The second aspect, I would just say, honestly, you really need mental toughness, mental resilience, and then just a will to win. So even though I didn't feel like it, I still wanted to win. So either way I'm going out there, you have to have like a competitive edge. You got to be competitive in like anything in life.
Do you find that transitions over into other aspects of your life as well? I find that when someone has that edge in them in a competitive way, either they do it in every single thing they do, or as soon as that thing goes away, and obviously got this good feeling about you that it kind of translates into other areas because you're doing the coaching side of things as well, but either they retire from the sport and then all of a sudden all the discipline goes because that was the linchpin that held everything together, or they're like that in every single area of life. I assume that it's the latter for you.
100%, you're not fucking wrong. I got so many people that like, they'll be disciplined in one area and not another. And I'm like, I don't get it. And then you find out, like you said, there's like some sort of pin. There's something holding them disciplined to there. And then once that goes, everything else just goes. So if you're disciplined in one area of your life that you're actually like genuinely passionate about, it's not by obligation, it's going to bleed into other areas. It's like a character trait.
Yeah, and I think it's powerful when people latch onto that because a lot of people think that they're not disciplined or they're not consistent. I was speaking to someone recently on a podcast as well. It's like, you're disciplined and you're consistent in something. And you've just got to find out exactly what that is and recognize that it's a transferable skill. In some people, it might not necessarily be the character trait of, okay, I can wake up every morning, but maybe I don't have the discipline with the food. It's not that they don't have the character trait of discipline. It's just they haven't worked out how to apply it to that certain area. That's at least what I think anyway. It's like, if you've got that in you in one area, you can transfer it into the other. So I think that it's a big powerful takeaway. It's just like, find that area in your life that you have it, or at least the moment in your life you had it as well. Like, okay, well, when I was professionally boxing, for example, or when I was in this sport, what were the things that I did? Okay, I had a huge level of accountability because I didn't want to get hit in the face. I wanted to show up and not be looked at as pathetic in my gym, for example. It's like, okay, well, maybe you don't need to necessarily go back to that environment, but maybe you need a huge level of accountability. And that's what kickstarts the discipline. And then after that, it becomes easy. So that the answer to that might be getting a coach that maybe is online or maybe you see in person so that they can really, really literally hold you accountable by seeing you on a regular basis. I think that that's probably a big takeaway too, is the sense of saying, okay, well, what worked last time? And what was the thing for me that made it work? Of course, once you're in the groove of everything, it becomes much easier. You know what to eat, you know how to train, you know what to do on a day-to-day basis. But what is the thing that, you know, maybe it's not the boxing that's holding it together, but it's that heavy level of accountability. And I think, what's your thoughts on this? Because a lot of people say, you know, you need to be self-accountable, but others are saying, well, actually, better to have a coach, the best in the world have a coach. Where do you stand on those two things? I have my thoughts, but I want to go through yours first in terms of having self-accountability or external accountability.
Yeah, you're right. It's actually, discipline is 100% a skill and it is transferable. Self-accountability, you need to be self-aware, I think, more than self-accountable. Because once you're self-aware, you go, all right, cool, I'm aware enough that I know now. So once you know better, you need to do better. So if I know better, like, okay, I won't do this by myself. I need a fucking coach. That's the thing. That's where you need like self-accountability to go, okay, cool, I'm going to go get a coach now. Because it's not enough to be self-aware without action. You actually need to have action, you know what I mean, to start getting results. Otherwise, you're just aware and go, cool, I need a coach, but, you know, so fucking what, I won't do it. You need to actually take action and then you'll start to get results and stuff like that.
And that self-awareness piece without action is probably one of the worst positions you can be in as well, because that's when people give themselves such a hard time. It's with those people who tell you, I know what to do, but I just can't do it. And it's like, that's worse than not knowing what to do and not doing it. I prefer 100%. To be oblivious than aware, right? Because when you have that awareness, you almost need to travel down that path in order to feel better. Otherwise, you're feeling even worse on a day-to-day basis.
You're not fucking wrong. Ignorance is bliss. Once you don't know, it's cool. Like, you're an idiot and it's nobody else's problem. You're just like, sorry, it's everybody else's problem and not fucking yours. But once you're aware, you're like, okay, now this is my problem and I need to deal with this. And if you don't, then it's like, what's stopping you? Because you're aware and you're able to make choices. You can do that. So then, like I said, it's accountable, like figure it out and then accountable to take the actions.
That's it. And I think that I was going to mention that in regards to self-accountability and external accountability, I think that this, I need to do it myself, or I need to learn how to do this myself, because if I don't hold myself accountable, like, how am I ever going to do this without a coach or without a trainer or without this goal? I think it's a cop-out, to be completely honest. I think it's something that people like to say, but it's like, it really doesn't make sense. What do you think you're going to be better at doing? Do you think you're going to be better at holding on to the goal once you've achieved it? Or do you think you're going to be better holding on to the goal when you're still light years away from it? The obvious answer is actually getting there first. And if you want a short, if you want a shortcut to your success, and it doesn't mean you took the easy path, but you've got someone literally laying out the roadmap for you, you still got to do the work. All you're doing is fast tracking your success. No one's doing it for you. And then once you get there, you're like, perfect, I've got in shape, I've built all these habits, because of, again, no one's done it for me. I still, as you did, you still had to show up for your training sessions. You still had to step into the ring. You had to take the punches. Your coach wasn't taking those punches, right? Same with the nutrition and fitness side of things. No one ate those meals for you. No one trained for you. You did that. So now it's a sense of saying, okay, perfect, I've established these. Now I could probably hold on to these, versus being at like square one, having never trained before, not eaten, not had the discipline to hold on to it. It's like, well, how are you, like, literally you've got this massive learning curve in front of you, and you want to apply holding on to your accountability on top of that, versus being in the position that you actually want to be, developing all these habits, getting all the insights from your coach, and then holding on to it. For me, it's kind of a no-brainer, which is going to be easier in terms of holding on to long term. Yeah, you don't need a coach forever, but to get you to the place that you want to be and fast track your success, you can actually hold on to the position you want to be, makes far more sense to me.
Oh, 100%. You're not fucking wrong at all. I honestly think it's a cop-out, like you said. I think it's all people say when they're fucking lazy and they really don't want to change. I feel like that's what it comes down to. It's like, fine, if you want to bullshit yourself, just don't bullshit me, because I don't want to fucking hear it. Because that's exactly what it is. People say that so many times, and I'm like, oh my God, shut the fuck up. Like, admit that you're lazy. I just tell them, like, admit that you're lazy and you really don't want to do it. Okay, because at the end of the day, you would be doing it. If you know how to do it, go fucking do it then. And if you're not, hold yourself accountable. Be like, you know what? I actually need a coach. People don't want to admit they need help all the time. That's their fucking problem.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. And for some reason, they're okay to accept it in other areas. But when it comes to this specific area, I think maybe there's a fear as well. There's a fear of not being able to succeed. There's a fear of letting someone down. Like, I think that sometimes there's that, you know, potential laziness piece or not wanting to actually do it. There's a sake of priorities as well. I think that's a big one. A lot of people will actually try and get into something, just realize that it's just not as important as the other things in my life, until maybe it shows up in a way in which they see their doctor and they're like, okay, well, literally I've got no choice now. And actually it is very, very important. But many times I also think it's the fear of like, okay, I don't want to let myself down again. I don't want to have to face the fact that I keep not being able to go through this. But at the same time, if you don't get started on that, you've got no choice of, like, you've got no way of essentially achieving that and coming, overcoming it. So it's one of those twisted things that, but like you said, the essential piece is awareness, because there's only so long that you can fight that awareness until you actually have to do something with it.
100%. If you don't actually take action, the only thing you're guaranteed is failure, because you're not going to do it at the end of the day, whether it's fear or whatever it may be, which is true, because a lot of people are scared. Like I said, I've got, like, you know, clients that want to lose weight who are quite big and stuff like that. And they were like, you know, fearful at the start, like, are people going to laugh at me in the gym? How will I look? I'm like, who gives a fuck? At the end of the day, you're here for them. You're here for you, not them. And honestly, most people in the gym are way too focused on their own things to give a fuck about what you do.
It's very true. Yeah, 100%. So you mentioned two aspects there. Do you have a third for me as well when it comes to the success side of things?
Success side of things, honestly, I think sticking to your word with yourself, doing the things that you say you're going to do, because that builds confidence in what you say. And then that just bleeds into other areas as well. Once you trust yourself, you're so confident that you know that you have your own back, like, your word means like gold. What you say goes, and whatever, like, if I say I'm going to get up and go for a run tomorrow, I'm going to fucking do it. I don't doubt myself. I just know. So then I can execute, because I have that confidence.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. Obviously, you've been able to nail that quite comfortably, and you know exactly all the systems in your mind that allow you to accomplish these things on a day-to-day basis. Now I'm interested about how you transfer that onto your clients who maybe didn't start a sport when they were younger, maybe have no trust in themselves, lack confidence in certain areas as well. How do you instill those type of mindsets into clients when sometimes that might not be anything to do with their DNA? You know, you've met the person before, right, who potentially is very, very focused in one area, but literally couldn't care less about their health and fitness, or wants something, but is, like you said, bogged down by fear, bogged down by doubt, bogged down by a little bit of lack of action taking as well. So talk to me about how you instill those into a client that potentially doesn't look like they're the type of candidate for that whatsoever. So I'm sure you meet them all the time.
Oh, 100%. You meet people, yeah, who like, especially the ones who like say the most and will do the fucking least. Like, yeah, I'm so committed. I want to do this. I want to do that. I'm like, cool, this is how we go. Oh, no, I don't want to do it like that, though. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? I'm like, too bad. I'm like, you're not here to learn fucking, you know what I mean, off what you know. You're here to learn off me. Let me teach you. When I come to you for coaching, we'll discuss how you would do it. Mm. And also, listen to me. And then I just give them little skills that they can build on, start them off with like little things. So I build their confidence slowly. But also, there's some people who just don't want to do it, and then you have to find like little triggers. Something's going to get, like something got you here, right? So let me build on that. Why? Why'd you come here? There's a reason, whatever it may be. And then honestly, that might change over time. So like your health might be the first reason. Like you said before, doctor might have told you, hey, you need to start training. But 6 weeks into it, your blood sugar might have dropped, whatever, sorry, your cholesterol might have got better, anything. And you're like, well, I don't need to fucking come here anymore. I was like, all right. Well, now let's figure out a reason why you need to keep coming. Like your health's no longer fucking in jeopardy or whatever. That's out the door. It's like, all right, do you feel better when you come here? Yes. Do you not like coming here sometimes? No, I don't like it, but I always feel good afterward. All right, well, next time you don't want to come, let's remember how you felt afterwards, that really good feeling and how you projected yourself after and how good you felt. Let's aim for that. That's now your new thing that you like get yourself into the gym for, that feeling afterwards, because I know I'm a better person then. I can go home to my children, family, whoever. I can be happy. I can work stronger, longer in my business, because I just feel like an elevated version of myself.
And how do you get people to realize that before they get so demotivated by the initial reason that they came in? I'm glad you touched on that as well, because if that does happen with a lot of people, what triggered them in the first place is not usually what keeps them in, because a lot of people come in because they've, you know, someone took a photo of them and they were like, wow, I didn't realize I looked like that. Or they went to put on a bikini on the beach and they were like, okay, this is just not a good look for me. I can't do this. And then that's the trigger point. They reach out to someone like you or myself, and then they get started and they're incredibly motivated. They lose 4 or 5 kilos, something along those lines. They go back into work and everyone is complimenting them in the office, like, Sandra, you look amazing. But then pretty much what ends up happening is that they get lost in those compliments and lost in the reason why they started in the first place. And this is the challenge I find for most people, is that, you know, they might want to lose, let's say, 10 to 15 kilos, but they get 5 to 7 kilos lighter. And the problem isn't staring them it is as like aggressively in the face as it did before, right? And they can't hold on to that. The motivation isn't just there. So when do you go in with that moment of saying, okay, well, how can we focus on this feeling afterwards, or this new thing that motivates you? Do you make people aware of potential consequences of backsliding as well? Because I think that's a big one as too.
Yeah, definitely. So I've got a client who come in. He's actually a mate. So we hang out, we train together, and we train hard, but also we fuck around because he's a mate. And then he used to train really hard, and then he did. He let himself go heaps. And then we went out to a festival and all the boys had their shirts off, and he was like, man, I can't take my shirt off. And he comes to the gym the next day and he's like, man, he goes like, I can't take my shirt off around you guys. He's like, I just don't feel comfortable. I was like, well, let's fucking get your ass in the gear. Let's start working towards that. I was like, because that is not a thing. That's not how you should be. So we did.
Yeah.
Then that dropped off because, you know, he got fitter and everything like that. But he comes in with his two sons. So now anytime he wants to push, you know, be a little bit soft, I'm like, wait, bro, your fucking boys are watching. You got to lead by example. Set a fucking example here. You're going to be a man, or you're going to quit because you're tired, yet you're screaming at them not to fucking do the same? Or you can't be a hypocrite. Go, let's fucking get to it.
Yeah, I think that's powerful. Having more than one reason, and then also being aware that that reason is going to evolve. I think that's a big thing that people should take away from today. And anyone who speaks to you when they get started is that the reason that got you started is probably not going to be the reason that keeps you for years. It's probably the same as you and I as well. Like, the reason I got started in the gym, the reason you got started, is not the reason we both go today.
Yeah, 100%. I don't give a fuck about the reason I started anymore. That's just like, yeah, does not bother me. It does not cross my mind. I don't even care about that.
Yeah, I think that's a big thing. So I think that a lot of people who are reflecting on getting started on their journey, or who may be in that point right now where they're not feeling as motivated when they first started, is just recognize that you know, you might have to check in with your goals every 2 to 3 months to make sure you know where you're at and make sure you know what's motivating you and what's keeping you going. And also hopefully thereafter rely on the habits and the discipline and the knowledge that the life that you lead when you're on point with your nutrition, your fitness, feels far better than the life without it. I think that that's what keeps me going strong, like year after year, and it always will, because of I love how I feel when I do the things that I need to do, right? And I do not like how I feel on the other side of that. So for me, it's almost become a no-brainer. And I think once it becomes that clear, that's when people latch on to lifelong success, especially in my eyes. Have you seen the same?
Oh, 100%. You know, you feel much better and you're just a better person, and then you're better for everybody else. And then I feel like once you're like the best version of you, or like, you know, aspiring to be, because you're never going to be the best version of you, but aspiring to be a better version of you constantly, and you're constantly doing things that make you feel good, people start to notice, like you said, and they'll latch onto that. And they're like, hey, like, how do you do that? Like, and then it's like, you know what? I feel so good. It'd be fucking like, I can't not show you guys. And then you also get them to do it. But like you said, people get lost in the ways because they haven't done it as long or whatever they, you know what I mean? They have a shitty week and they eat like shit, or they do a bunch of stuff that they go and they regret. Then you're like, all right, now we need to drag you back, because now you've been feeling like shit the whole time. Let's get you back onto the little steps to build up to bigger wins.
Yeah, 100%. And talk to me about those bad weeks, because if I know that when I've checked out your profile before, you speak a lot about navigating the stress in your life, navigating the challenges that people go through on a day-to-day basis. Talk to me about how you go through those, because I think that you mentioned a lot of people say that, Stephen, you never seem stressed. You never seem like you're dealing with any problems. How do you personally deal with it? And how do you transmit that over to your clients as well?
Honestly, so I go and I stick to some daily habit, or I go and I do something that makes me feel good, which is like sticking to my word. So something that I said, I won't break on my diet, because obviously I like food a lot, but if I go eat, I'm going to feel like shit afterwards. It's like an instant gratification, and then I'm just going to feel rubbish afterwards. So I know it's not going to make me feel any better in the long term. So I'll go do something that will. I'll either go work on my business, I'll go train, something like that. And again, it's just not that I want to in the moment, but I'm like, hey, I can't project this onto other people. I may feel shit, but I can't make other people feel like shit. So I better pull myself out of this so I can help other people, because I really like helping other people. So it's a big thing for me. It's like, all right, I don't want to feel like shit anyway. So it's one is for myself. Two, I don't want anyone else to feel like shit. So I better get to work on doing something positive. And then I can actually go and put something out there that's positive. I don't want to be a shitty person. So you better get off your ass and make something happen.
That's fair enough. And again, I think this whole conversation is coming back to the self-awareness piece, but I want to put ourselves in the shoes of someone who maybe their work is the thing that's stressing them out, right? So they don't have their own business, for example, and they don't actually enjoy working out. Where do you encourage those people to go to if the two things that maybe you and I would lean on, they don't have that avenue for them?
Well, there's something that you enjoy regardless. Like, there's something in life that you enjoy. I don't care what it is. There's something, and there's something that's beneficial for you. There is, and it's either you know what it is or you haven't found it yet. So like, all right, let's try a bunch of things and work on it. But then you also get those people who are like, oh, I don't want to try. It's like, well, do you want to feel like shit? Or, and they're like, no, because that's the reason I'm here. Well, let's fucking get to work then. Too bad.
Yeah, that's the thing. And I think it's also about state change. I think a lot of the time that when we're in those moments, a lot of it is because we're in a certain state. Maybe it's a low energy, it's a lethargy, it's a frustration or something along those lines. But if you go and work out, for example, and you do a pretty intense workout, there is no choice but to change your state, right? That requires a certain level of energy, a certain level of movement as well, that literally allows you to kind of snap out of that as well. And that's why I love the physical aspect, because if sometimes people want to think their way out of a problem, and then yeah, maybe reading a book or something along those lines can be okay. But it's also a very easy trigger to go back to what you were thinking about before. Whereas I feel like when you get into your body, especially if it's a problem in the mind, it's literally like, obviously you can be distracted by your phone and everything, but if you're really committed and dedicated to the workout, and that's what I'd encourage people to do, is like, just go on that run where you're not really plugged in. Like, that's what I love about running, to be honest. It's like, you can't really be on your phone at the same time, right?
When you're in the
gym, when you're in the gym, you can kind of get away with sending a few emails or kind of consuming whatever you were consuming before. But when you're running or even rowing, when something is out of your hands, you literally can't. That's what I think is one of those big keys. It's just about getting into your body and trying to get away from the mental thing, because of sometimes you can't think your way out of a problem that you thought your way into. Sometimes you have to kind of move and get to a different state. So do you feel kind of the same on that front?
100%. You can't fix a problem that you created with the same mindset. You have to go and elevate yourself or change your mindset, or you need to change something, and then you'll go back and you'll fix that problem. Because you have the same outlook and then just try and deal with the problem all the time, it's like, well, nothing's going to change really. You need to change your mental state one way or another. So that way you can go back and be like, all right, cool, I feel good about this. Now let's tackle this with a different headspace. Let's try and work on this from a different angle. So I always tell people, like, you need to find things that get you away from your phone that honestly make you forget about time just in general, whether that's running, whatever it may be. People always do it with, like, boxing is good because you can't fucking pick up your phone. Especially if you're sparring, you get punched in the fucking head. So, or if you're boxing, you got gloves on, like, you just can't do it. I used to do it with motorbike riding when I used to go dirt bike riding. Wouldn't check my phone all day. It's something that just makes you forget about time. Or like when you're playing with your mates, you play football and then you look and you're like, fuck, it's dark. Like, those moments are so good because you're like, fuck, time just flew by. And I just, yeah, I felt so good because you weren't thinking about anything. You're just at peace.
Yeah. Finding more moments like that, I think, is crucial for everyone, to be completely honest, especially when you've got a challenge, but when you're not even facing a challenge. Like, those moments shouldn't be lost or shouldn't be reserved for just when we were growing up. They should be something that we factor in on a regular basis. Of course, you've got responsibilities, you've got things that you need to do, but I think that might be one of the biggest mistakes people make, is never making time for something like that and then wondering why they're potentially stressed out and with problems all the time.
Yeah, and then you're going to project that onto other people. So it's like, you really need to look after yourself to look after other people. It's not selfish. That's the thing. Problem, like, oh, I'm going to be selfish if, you know, I go and I switch my phone off, or I go do this, I'm not accessible. It's like, no, you're looking after yourself, and then you're actually going to be better for everybody else. You need to think about it like that. Because if you're stressed and everything, you're going to snap at people, you're going to be shitty, you're going to be moody. No one wants to be around you when you're like that. But when you come back and you're feeling good, you're going to pick other people up. They might feel shitty or depressed, and you're like, hang on a minute, I feel good. Let's get you into this elevated state as well.
Yeah, very, very true. And something that a lot of people love to speak about and love to latch onto are routines, structure, kind of consistent things that they can do on a day-to-day basis, like morning routines, daily routines, habits. Do you have a kind of specific structure in which you follow for your day that allows you to unlock a little bit more of that success?
I do, but it's mainly things that I say that I'm going to do. So I don't have a specific wake-up time, but I know that, like, you know, something that I always say to myself is I'm going to wake up before I need to be awake. So before I need to leave for work, before I need to do anything like that, I'm going to be awake before I need to be. So that's just, yeah, something that I say.
Rule number one.
I always
yeah.
do. So yeah, I stick to my word on that. But anything else I can kind of factor into my day. Like, I know that I have to train, but there's no specific time to do it. Like, I've trained at like midnight before, I've trained at fucking 4 a.m. It doesn't matter. As long as I do it, I don't care. That's just, so like, I have a routine, but it's not specifically set out in a routine, if that makes sense. It's not like time structured. So it's like daily habits that I have to do that are like non-negotiable. But it's not set out by time. It's just set out by like my day. It has to be done.
Yeah, I like that as well, because if it gives a nice insight into people who maybe work like you, they don't necessarily want to follow anything from minute to minute, but maybe it's just about having those list of non-negotiables. So are there any others that are on your list? Obviously, the training side of things, the work side of things. Is there anything else that you feel like you have to do on a day-to-day basis for it to be ticked off as a successful day?
I try and not break character. So like the thing that I say like is... Like my true self, what I like, you know what I mean? What I would like to be at like my best version, I always try and stick true to that. So one for me would be not getting fucking, like not having road rage. I try and really not let that like be a thing. If I like lose it over something stupid, I'm like, you're an idiot. You fucked up. Like, why'd you do that? And then people are like, oh, it's something stupid. I'm like, yeah, but why would I let somebody whose name I don't even know, who I'm never going to see, affect my day so much? I'm like, that's something you need to catch yourself on. Like, you don't want to be that shitty person who argues with like retards in traffic. I'm like, it doesn't matter. Until I actually like, until you get out of your car, I don't even care anymore. I'm like, whatever. But if I let myself get worked up over that, that burns me. And I'm like, fuck, you failed that part of the day.
I think that's powerful as well, because if once you, it's kind of like the nutrition side of things. If you let one small thing in, it's not like that's it, right? Well, I feel like sometimes those approaches, especially with character, I have the same with snoozing in the morning, right? Like if my alarm goes off and I even entertain the idea of like, okay, well, I might just hit snooze. It becomes a conversation and a negotiation that I shouldn't even be having in the first place. And it increases 100%. My chances of staying there. Even if it flips to like an extra 10 to 20% I might stand there, it's just not worth it, right? And then yeah, it lets back in. Yeah, it lets back in the idea that that might happen again. So for me, it's like, okay, we're not even having this conversation. Like my immediate response has to be, as soon as that alarm goes off, boom, you're up. Your eyes are open and you're getting on. Yeah,
I do the same like with my time as well. Like if I get up, I'm like, all right, you know what? If I say I'm going to get up tomorrow and I'm going to read, and then I'm like, oh, like a client cancels even. Sometimes my first client will cancel. I'm like, oh, you know what? I don't actually need to be up now. Like I've got a few more hours up my sleeve. And then if I go back to sleep, I'm like, you fucking idiot. I'm like, why would you do that? I'm like, you were up anyway. I'm like, did you really need that sleep? No, you did not. I'm like, do you feel worse about it now? Yes. So tomorrow we're going to make sure we get up regardless and we're going to fucking read. Doesn't matter if we have time to do it later in the day. We said we're doing this, we're fucking doing it.
Yeah, no, I think that negotiation piece is huge. And it's something that I realize as well. It's like once you entertain the idea of something else, then that something else can click in. So that's what I think in regards to your character as well. It's like, A, like it wasn't, like you said, it wasn't any better for you. Like the snooze I can give, is sleep beneficial? Yes, but usually not once your alarm has gone off, right? It's never any, high quality after that. And it's the same as you in the car as well. It's like, you getting annoyed and frustrated at that person didn't help your day at all. It didn't make, like, maybe it made you have like an immediate sense of relief, but the, like you said, it's the instant gratification thing. It made you feel good for 5 seconds, but it made you feel terrible for the next 2 hours.
That's it. And I'd feel way better if I just didn't do it, didn't react to it at all. Like I said, doesn't even bother me. Like, until you get out your car, we don't have a problem at all. So I don't even care. So I'm like, you know what? You, like I said, may have that instant gratification, but you're going to feel so much better and have like long, like prolonged gratification if you don't do anything about it.
And that's the thing. And that's what I also find as well, is that that's a big, big hack, is that once you recognize that long-term gratification is actually instant gratification, then you win on so many levels. With instant gratification, you only win immediately. And it's so, so short-lived that usually it's not even worth it. But when you win on a long-term basis, the win is you also celebrating the fact that I didn't step out of my car, or I opened my eyes and got out of my bed as soon as snooze went off. That's the win. That becomes the instant gratification. Then the long-term gratification is you staying in character, me being up at the hour I should be, right? So I think that 100%. If people can switch that around, right, it's like you actually get the best of both worlds. It's just not exactly the way that you thought it would be. You know, the sleep looks like it, the getting annoyed in traffic looks like it, but it's not really. It's the fact that you overcome something that was almost automatic.
100%. I was actually thinking about this the other week, because I went and I brought some chocolates or whatever, because we've got Easter chocolates in our shops now, and I was like, you know what, I'm gonna get some. So I got some chocolates and I was eating it. I'm like, oh, this is really good. You finished the chocolate, and I'm like, I don't feel good anymore. And they're just like tiny little Easter eggs. So then you have another one. And I'm like, then I thought about this. I'm like, it took me like 3 little Easter eggs. And I'm like, hang on a minute. I'm like, I'm only feeling good when this is actually fucking, I'm actually eating this. I'm like, other than that, I know that I'm regretting it, because I'm like, hang on a minute. I'm going to fucking feel like shit tomorrow because I broke my diet. Then I have to train harder because, like, okay, technically I didn't put on any weight, but this could build. Yeah. I could now be like, oh, you know what? I want to do that again. And then just instant pleasure chase, and it's not going to be good for me. Because then what? Am I going to just going to instant pleasure chase all the time? I want more food, more food, more food. It's not going to come anywhere good.
That's the thing. Like I said, it becomes that negotiation again, right? It's like, ah, well, I let this in, so maybe there's the opportunity. I think there's certain things in life where maybe a little bit easier to navigate. But when you know yourself, like for example, in the car, you know you can't let that conversation happen. Maybe with the nutrition, you know, okay, well, I let this happen, but it's not going to take me long to get back on track. I would say the same for me as well. It's like, it doesn't take me long to get back on track. If I start that sleep thing, it's like, okay, potentially this is going to be the next couple of weeks or months until I get myself sorted out again. So I think it's about knowing yourself as well. And you know, if that's a particular vice that was hard enough to kind of get yourself into a position of in the first place, it's like, maybe it's just not a good idea to let that back in. And I think that that's when people are like, I want to live my life with balance. I'm like, you know, that's beautiful, but reestablish what balance means. Balance doesn't mean like being 50-50 all the time. It means sometimes being 90% in one thing, and then, you know, in another, you can be a lot more flexible. But I think it's more about looking at the grand scheme of things and looking at it as more of a balancing act than things need to be on a level, stable keel 100%. Every single time.
Not everything needs to be balanced, and you're not going to make everything balanced anyway, because there's just not enough time in the day. Like, there is, but then you're going to lose out on sleep. So there goes your balance on sleep. There's enough time in the day to do everything, but you're going to compromise something somewhere. So you need to prioritize things.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more, mate. And with that being said, coming up to the kind of final stages of the conversation, I want to go through some things that maybe are missed out on that we haven't spoken about today. Some areas that you think that people are tripping up on time and time again that maybe we've not touched on today that you feel really passionate about talking.
I think I've heard this a lot, and it's the excuse that people give themselves. Like, we were talking about it before, but it's, oh, I'm scared of doing it, or this or that. Like, the excuse that people give themselves, I would say, is one big thing that limits everyone. The bullshit excuse as well, because it's exactly that. Like, you just, if you're aware enough to like come have a conversation with someone like me or you and be like, hey, look, like, you know, this is my issue, then you just have to do better. You have to take action, whatever that may be. But like I said, it could be food, it could be drugs, it could be alcohol, whatever the fuck it may be. If you're like able enough to reach out to somebody, you now have to take action. It's your duty to yourself. That little voice inside your head, your conscience, will tell you, hey, you need to fix this. Once you hear it, you need to fucking work on it. So just take action straight away. It has to be instant on whatever it may be. Like I said, getting out of bed, instead of having that conversation about your life, bang, get the fuck up. I don't have time for this. Me, just drive off. Or you know what? Put the chocolate down. You don't have to finish the packet. Just fucking throw the rest out. Or you know what? You don't even throw the rest out. Someone else will eat it. Like, you don't have to do it. It doesn't have to be you.
Yeah. And I'm interested with that piece as well. I always find that sometimes we have to go too far down the path in order to be able to step out of something. And that's something that I'm always like kind of frustrated with, not necessarily myself, but with humanity as a whole, in the sense that if we were able 100%. To establish our problems much sooner, we wouldn't have to wait until we're 30 kilos overweight, or our doctor tells we're on a borderline of diabetes, or you know, you just hit someone in the face out of the back of getting out of your car because you got angry about it, right? Like, I don't understand why we all have to get to the moment of kind of the quote unquote rock bottom before we turn something around. So do you have any advice for people who can build that awareness, get to that point sooner before it really becomes a problem? Because it's much easier to lose 10 kilos than it is to lose 30. Of course, you know, your motivation might be higher at 30 and there's different things here, but on paper, it's much easier to navigate a challenge that's not enormous. And I feel like we all wait until it gets super, super enormous and before we do anything about it.
You're so right. People are like, yeah, they're like, oh, well, fuck, I can always start next year. I'm like, yeah, or next week, or I'll start on Monday. I'm like, you know what? If you're not willing to start today, you're not going to make any fucking changes. So honestly, I would think taking instant action. It doesn't even have to be massive action. Like I said, start with a little win. Just don't have like, you know what? Instead of finishing the whole packet of chocolate, just don't have one. That's a little win. Just stack something little instead of like, you know what I mean, arguing about your alarm. Set it 5 minutes later. So technically you had that 5 minutes sleep, just a little trick, something that's going to trigger you and be like, you know what? I had that 5 minutes worth of sleep, but also it's not really going to matter if I have 5 more minutes from now, but I'm going to feel like shit. So just try and always think of how you're going to feel. And then the person that you want to be, you're like, all right, do I want to be this person? I tell actually one of my clients, he's really big. He's fat. He's definitely fat. He's definitely overweight, like very fat. I don't care. I tell him this and we have that relationship and it's fine. So he was training the other day and he wanted to stop. And he's like, oh, I'm tired. I'm like, I don't give a fuck. It's good. We have this relationship. I'm like, I don't give a fuck. Keep going. Too bad. You're not stopping. And we're having this conversation as he's like punching. And then he's like, no, I want to stop. And I looked at him dead in the face as we're like punching because I won't let him stop. I go, tell me something. I go, do you think that every guy in the world should have your body? I go, should we all look like you? And he's like, no. I go, if you have kids, do you want them to look like you? Do you think your kids should be fat? Do you think they should have your body? And he's like, no. I'm like, cool. I go, are you really that fucking tired or are you just complaining? He's like, well, my shoulders hurt. I go, so fucking what? I go, tell everyone. I go, do you have the confidence to tell everyone that excuse? And he's like, no. I go, then shut the fuck up and just keep doing what you're doing because you're bettering yourself. I was like, and as we're progressing and getting, you're just building the confidence that I can keep doing this because I've been doing it.
Yeah, it's powerful. And I'm interested, does your philosophy kind of run true in the gym as well? Because I feel like this is a philosophy where, you know, a lot of people might hear this now. And maybe 10 years ago, they would have been like, this is the normal, right? Your trainer shouts at you. The trainer gives you the truth and the most direct way that you could possibly take it. But I find that a lot of people these days are a little bit scared of taking that truth. Maybe there's a lot more of a softer approach. Are you the only one in your gym like this, or is this kind of a culture of the gym that you're in?
You're so right. I feel like it depends, but here's the thing. Like, I'm not like this with everybody, so I'm like this with a lot of people. But if you're already hard on yourself, you don't need someone to add to that. You need someone who's softer. If you've had like, you know what I mean, if you've been babied your whole life and your friends tell you, no, it's okay, you can look fat and you know what I mean, you don't need to eat better, you're beautiful the way you are. You need to be told the hard fucking truth, which is bullshit. You do not fucking look good and you're not confident enough to take your fucking shirt off right now. So let's fucking get to work. Usually people who like are hard on themselves need someone a bit softer, and people who are too soft on themselves or too soft by their surroundings, they need someone that's fucking hard. And then it's your job as a good coach to fucking still be yourself, but also get the best out of them.
Yeah, I like that a lot. It's that pendulum shift, right? It's like, if you've never had it before, like maybe just someone giving you a little bit of a hard time, but not delivering the truth in the harsh way might not be enough, yeah. Right? Like if you've lacked that your entire life, you'd be like, whatever, you know, but when someone literally goes from 0 to 100 and is literally saying the things that you really deep down know and delivering it in the format that you need to hear, then I think that's powerful. And the other side of things too, it's nice that you have that diversity that you're able to say, okay, well, actually this person's given themselves a hard enough time. They're already like in their head about this, you know, 10 times per day, I don't really need to be shouting at them right now. I actually maybe need to do the opposite and just give them the support that they've never been given or they're never giving themselves.
Yeah, that's it. And that's usually what it is. They normally have like a negative self-talk and they're like, oh, fuck, I really need to do something about it. Like, I'm fucking lazy, I'm fat, I'm overweight. Or, you know what, I fucking take drugs all the time, I do this, I do that. Whatever the fuck their vice may be. Like you said, well, I lose my temper all the fucking time, I'm such an idiot. It's like, hang on a minute, settle down. Let's take this back and let's look at it from a different perspective. Let's not be so negative on ourselves. How can we deal with this in a positive way now? It's like, all right, why are you angry? Because I'm really protective. It's like, okay, cool. That's a good thing. That's a good trait to have. But let's not let it like blow out in this way. Or, you know what I mean? Whatever it may be.
Yeah, I think that's powerful. And I think it's about determining the right approach. And I think that that's, I'm glad that we touched on that point, because if everyone might think that, okay, well, if I sign up to Steve and I'm already giving myself a hard time, he's just going to shout at me even more than I shout at myself. So I like that fact that, like you said, you're able to balance the coin and just be like, well, actually, what does this person need right now? And I think that, yeah, as you've maybe alluded to, a lot more people need that harsh talk than they're really getting. And I think we're kind of transitioning into a bit of an era where it is a little bit softer and it is a little bit like less about telling the truth in worries that you're going to offend someone or, you know, be sued or cancelled, whatever it might be.
Yeah.
But the reality is that it's still needed. Like, the world hasn't changed so much in the last 3 years that people don't still need to be told the truth in a direct way.
For
and I
sure.
think that it's a lot about people opening themselves up to that and saying, well, actually, well, why am I offended about this? Well, the reason I'm offended about this is because it's actually true. And the only way in which I can bite back in without handling the problem is to obviously, you know, slate the person who's actually doing it to me versus actually dealing with the problem.
For sure, you're not wrong at all. And the thing is, either way, like, if you tell the truth, like, I always tell this people, I go, the truth is going to be the truth. Doesn't matter who believes it, who doesn't, and a lie is still going to be a lie. But if you tell the truth to someone, they're going to remember you, whether they're friends or them, and they're like, oh, nah, fuck that person, they don't know anything. You're going to go home at the end of the day, and you're going to be like, fuck, they were right. And you're going to remember that person. And either you're going to make a change of that, or it's going to stick with you either way. So you'll make a change, or like, years later, you'll be like, fuck, you know what? That person was right. And they'll remember me. They'll remember you, because they'll be like, you know what? That person told me the fucking truth. It doesn't always need to be harsh. You don't need to be so blunt about it. But you can deliver the truth in a nice way as well. Be like, look, man, you're not looking your best. I know you're not feeling your best. You're being a shitty person because of this. Like, let's get to work. You know what? Let's go for a walk. We don't even need to do a massive fucking workout today. I don't need to yell, scream, and swear at you, because I don't even like that. It's like, you know what? Let's get some positive stuff going. Let's go for a walk. Let's go walk up some stairs. That's fine. We'll just do that instead. You don't need to be blasted today. You've had a shit day.
Yeah, I like that a lot. And at the end of the day, I think that what people have to realize as well is you've always got their best interest. You're not there to make their life any worse. So, you know, if you're delivering that truth, even though it might seem harsh in the moment, or even if it's not delivered in an aggressive manner, but it's just delivered in a truthful manner, it might hurt. But you've got to remember that if that person, it depends on the person, right? If a coach is delivering it to you, they're doing it in your best interest. Usually they're not doing it to be, well, let's hope so, but they're not doing it to be harsh to you. They're doing it because they genuinely want the best for you, right? If it's a friend or something like that, yeah, it might be difficult to take, or someone who you're not really getting on with, but there's still probably an element of truth. If it hurts, there's usually an element of truth there.
Of course, there definitely is. It's expressed that way.
And I think that, basically what you've got to do is just latch on to that little bit of that, like take away the burn and the sting of it and try and park that as much as you can, but just take away that ounce of truth and apply it to yourself, because you're going to be 10 times better off the back of it. But I think that that wraps things up very, very nicely in terms of the conversation. I think it was a strong back and forth. So with that being said, I've got a couple of final questions for you, Stephen. The first is, what impact do you want to have on the world with the work that you do?
I want to make everyone better, like just a better version of themselves, because we can always be better. So I want to show them, like, I feel like a lot of people are just down on themselves and they don't know what to do, or they think it's just how you should live. And I just think there's such a better way to live. You just need to experience that. So I just want to give everyone like a way to see that you can feel better about yourself. You don't have to feel down. You don't have to feel like shit. You don't have to feel stuck in anything. You can always get yourself out of any situation, and you can always feel better regardless. Doesn't matter, you know, whatever your situation is, whatever your excuse is, you can always feel better and do better and then be a better example for other people.
I love that. Love that. I really do. Where is the best place for people to find you if they want to keep up with the work that you're doing?
Instagram, which is Stephen Radar.
Perfect. We'll put that in the show notes below. But Stephen, thank you so much for your time today, mate. It's been a superb conversation.
Thanks, mate. Really appreciate it.
And that was the Simply Fit podcast. I hope you gained a huge amount of value from today's episode. I feel inspired to improve your health and well-being. Be sure to search for Simply Fit in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, or anywhere else you get your podcast from. And go ahead and subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. Also, if you like the episode, please don't forget to give it a 5-star rating. I'd love to hear your feedback or any questions you have. So reach out to me on social media. You'll find me on Facebook and Instagram at Elliot Hassoun. Thank you so much for listening, and I look forward to talking with you all on the next one.